When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dreams, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star, as dreamers do, fate is kind. She brings to those who love the sweet fulfillment of their secret longing. Like a bolt out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. When you wish upon a star, your dreams come true. Works a lot better without a cold, though. Yeah. Now, this is a famous song. I'm sure everyone knows that. When You Wish Upon a Star. It was composed for the Disney animated movie Pinocchio. It was back in 1957 or so, I think it was. Now, the story of Pinocchio, we all know it was Geppetto, an Italian, this woodworker, carpenter type, who doesn't have a son. He wants a boy. So he crafts this wooden puppet, basically, and names it Pinocchio. And then a fairy godmother type comes in, turns Pinocchio into a boy, but not quite a real boy yet. But he has to prove himself that he deserves to be a real boy. And so he goes on to these different adventures, led astray by bad boys. And of course, one of the famous things is that when Pinocchio lies, his nose gets a little longer. He lies again, gets a little longer. And in some of his adventures, he ends up almost being turned into a donkey. But he escapes in the nick of time, and there's Jiminy Cricket, I think, is the little conscience character that kind of accompanies Pinocchio, and he's the one who actually sings the song, When You Wish Upon a Star. Now, last week, I mentioned, Enchanted, right? Yeah, one of the Disney movies, so I figure might as well keep the theme going at least another week. But wishes. If you could wish for anything, what would it be? If you could be granted any wish in the world, what would you wish for? Now, I haven't actually experienced death in the immediate family yet. But from what I've read, studies have shown that it doesn't take very long for most people to wish for, wish that they would be able to meet, to be reacquainted, to have someone that they loved, died, return to them. They want them back. They want their mother back. They want their father back. And in a sense, perhaps all of our wish is to live forever. Now, there's back in Ecclesiastes, I believe, the writer there says, God has set eternity into our hearts. We weren't meant to die. We were meant to live. And live forever. Live eternally. Now, Pinocchio gets his wish at the end. Geppetto gets his wish at the end. Do we get our wish at the end? If God was to wish upon a star, what would he wish for? What is God's desire? I think John chapter 17 gives us a peek into what God desires. And this is Jesus' high priestly prayer, is what it's titled. It's probably the longest prayer recorded of Jesus. And in it, Jesus speaks of glory, of God's name, of your name, of knowing Him, of knowing God. These are prevalent words and phrases in this chapter. It's also a summary report of His mission. He speaks of what He's accomplished. He also prays for what is still left to do, what He's going to leave for His followers to continue. When Jesus speaks of glory, and when Jesus speaks of your name, of God's name, of His Father's name, what does it mean? And what does it mean to know God? So let's turn to the first verse here, John chapter 17. When Jesus had spoken these words, just remember that He had just finished speaking that, you're going to have troubles in this world, but I'm going to be sending the Holy Spirit to you, and He'll be there to help you. And so, when Jesus had spoken these words, He lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You. Since You have given Him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom You have given Him, and this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I glorified You on earth, having accomplished the work that You gave Me to do. And now, Father, glorify Me in Your own presence with the glory I had with You before the world existed. In that short passage right there, in the first five verses, glory and glorify is repeated over and over and over again. It must be important. What does it mean? Verse 6, I have manifested Your name to the people whom You gave Me out of the world. Yours they were, and You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word. Now they know that everything that You have given Me is from You. For I have given them the words that You gave Me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from You, and they have believed that You sent Me. So glory, God's name, and knowing God appear to be interrelated in some way. And here's what I believe that relationship is. God's glory is essentially God's name. What is God's name? Well, back in Exodus, when Moses asked to see God's glory, what did God say? When God passed by on Sinai, what did God say? what did God show? The brilliance of his glory certainly was seen. But as he passed by, he announced his name. And his name was his character, his loving kindness, his mercy. So basically, God's glory is God's name, which is his character and nature, which is love. Love and mercy. To know God is to know that. Is to know God's love. And what Jesus is saying here is that to know God is to know him. To know him is to know God. And it is only through knowing God's love that a person is able to receive eternal life. By receiving God's love, a person then accepts the eternal life which comes as part of that. God's love and God and eternal life are inseparable. You can't have one without the other. Jesus' prayer here is not for all of the world. It's specifically for those who have accepted his love, who have come to know his name. And so verse 9, Jesus says, I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. That gives a clue as to one of the reasons why Jesus has followers, why Jesus has disciples. It's to continue to show God's glory. His disciples, we, are commissioned to continue to proclaim God's name, to show God's love to the world. Because, as Jesus says, already he's saying, I am no longer in this world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Love is protection for Christians. Love is what brings us together. Love is what keeps us together. Without God's love, Jesus' prayer, Jesus' desire that we would be one, would go unfulfilled. Now, all of Jesus' words, all of Jesus' deeds in his life were to show God's glories, to show God's love. And what Jesus is saying here, is praying about, is his final revelation of God's love in the crucifixion. God's love also gives us power. God's love is power. It protects. That's what I believe Jesus is saying when he prays, Holy Father, keep them in your name. And Jesus continues, but now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Just as I am not of the world, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. God's love not only grants eternal life, God's love not only provides protection for His people, God's love provides power for His people to become more like Him. They're separated, they're sanctified, they're set apart. They're no longer part of the world. Their actions, through God's love, through God's power, becomes more and more like that of God Himself. And then Jesus continues in this last part of His prayer. He's thinking not only of the disciples that are immediately around Him, but He's looking forward into history, into the second generation, the third, fourth, and whatever generation we are today. This is verse 20. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, that they may all be one, just as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they also may be in Us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. The glory that You have given Me, I have given to them. Again, God's glory is being shared with His people. God doesn't hoard His glory. He shares it. And so, we're supposed to have the same kind of character, same kind of love, same kind of nature that God has. I in them, or verse 21 again, that they may all be one, just as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they also may be in Us, so that the world may believe that You have sent them, sent Me. Well, the glory that You have given Me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as We are one. I in them, and You in Me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that You sent Me, and love them even as You love Me. Father, I desire that they also, whom You have given Me, may be with Me, where I am, to see My glory that You have given Me, because You loved Me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know You, I know You, and these know that You have sent Me. I've made known to them Your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which You have loved Me may be in them, and I in them. God's desire is for all of His followers, all of His disciples, all believers, to be one, to be perfectly one. Now, obviously, doesn't mean that we're all gonna think alike, we're all gonna act alike, because we're all different. And in other places, we read that we're made that way, and we're supposed to be different. But we're all supposed to be one in love. Well, our purpose, well, we mentioned this in Sabbath school here a few minutes ago. Jesus' purpose, I believe, was to show God's love. And I believe that the commission left for us is the same thing. It's to continue to show God's love. And so in that purpose, we can all be one. And I think that when that is our purpose, when that is our goal, when that's our focus, when God is our focus, the differences that we might have in our opinions will no longer matter. We'll begin to appreciate the diversities that we have, yet at the same time we'll come to recognize that our differences, in fact, help us be more united. Our differences complement one another if we can only get past our, I suppose, our fleshly, our human natures of wanting everyone to act the same way and speak the same way that we do. So as disciples here in the world become one, we more perfectly reveal God's love. And by doing so, we draw more people into our circle. And that is God's desire. He wants everyone to more perfectly see His glory and to be with Him forever. Now, Pinocchio, in order to receive his wish to become a real boy, he had to go prove himself. And at the end, the fairy determines that, well, you know, it looks like you proved yourself, and so your wish is granted. Sometimes, or some people think God is kind of like that too. If you do X, Y, and Z, if you live a good life, if you follow all these things, if you prove yourself, well, you might get your wish. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, I'm offering it to you. All you have to do is accept. All you have to do is accept my love. Your wish, your desire is tied to my love. It's a part of my love. Will you accept it? And so, with apologies to Lee Harline and Ned Washington, I changed the words. I changed the words to "When You Wish Upon a Star." So in closing, see if I can sing it any better than I did earlier. Let's actually start with G. When God's Son came to the world, show His Father's glory did. Through His love and sacrifice, He gives us life. If your heart is for God's love, no request is too extreme. When you ask in Jesus' name, you will receive. God is love. With Him He wants us be. That is His heart's desire for all eternity. When God's Son prayed for us all, He prayed that we all be one. Just as He and Father is, we too be one.